Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Moncrief on News Talk.
It's Tuesday, so Jonathan De Burka Butler is here for Around the World. Very welcome. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
How are you, Mairead? How are you getting on?
Very good. I'm enjoying this. And I have to say, well, I did say it to you off air, so I'll say it to you now on air. I really, really enjoyed this slot as a listener to this show.
Well, that's very good. I'm going all red here
now. Don't go red. Well, you're listening. You're matching the colours here in the studio. So we're going to China first and a very sad story of a custody battle.
Yeah, so the woman that's involved, well, there's two women involved in this custody battle, but the main player, shall we say, in this is a woman by the name of Didi. That's her nickname. And she's a 42-year-old who lives in Shanghai. Now, back in 2016, Didi married her wife in the United States of America, where same-sex partnership is legal, right? They went through IVF treatment, right, with embryos that were made from the wife's eggs and then donor sperm, right? So her wife's eggs. So she didn't contribute any eggs herself. And that's very important, right,
in this
particular story, right? And then the embryo was implanted in both women, right? Didi ended up having a daughter in 2017 and her wife ended up having the son in the same year. Mm-hmm. Okay, so far so good.
I'm understanding.
Now, yeah, everything was going fine and then they moved back to China a couple of years later. And in 2019, the relationship broke down. And her wife decided to keep the children, right? She broke off all contact with Didi. So a year later, Didi launches this case. She sued, basically, for custody of the toddlers, right? And the battle went on for a good few years. And just a couple of weeks ago, she was given visitation rights to see her daughter, right? So the reason that the story's coming out now is because she actually went and visited her just at the end of last month, right? And it's kind of was happening in the Chinese media, I suppose, and on social media, but it only got out into the international ether at this particular stage, right? So she went and visited her, hadn't seen her for 4 years. Things had changed, obviously, but she has now got visitation rights. However, it seems that she won't get rights to visit the son. Because they're not biologically connected, right?
Oh
yeah, exactly. So it's a very sad story. So it is a victory for her. She did win this case after 4 years and she's allowed to visit her daughter once a month.
Once a month?
And well, it's a start. It might progress to being better. Who knows? But it's an interesting case because it's the first time a court in China, A, has recognised that a child can have two legal mothers.
Yes.
They don't recognise same-sex unions there at all. And it's the first case of a same-sex custody dispute in China as well. So closely followed in that part of the world.
I hope that all changes for the better for Didi. Next, New Zealand. And police are looking for lethal sweets.
Lethal sweets, right. So you'll be aware of food banks, of course, right? And there's an anti-poverty charity in Auckland called the Auckland City Mission, right? And as part of a food parcel that they handed out, they gave away some sweets. Now, these were pineapple-flavoured sweets made by a company, a Malaysian company called Rinda, right? They're classic sort of sweets, like in a wrapper.
A hard sweet.
Yeah, like a lozenge or whatever, that kind of thing, right? The problem with these was that they got a few complaints a few days later saying, that, you know, people were coming back to the food bank and saying, these sweets taste a bit funny. So they decided they'd have a go, you know, and see what people were talking about. And not only did they taste funny, but they also, the people who took them, the volunteers in the food bank, began to feel funny also. So they got in touch with the police. The police got in touch with the New Zealand Drug Foundation, who tested them. And they found that at least in one case, there was 3 grams of meth in the sweet that was sent for testing. Now, just to put that into context, a normal dose to sort of do what you to get what to, you need to get
to take meth, okay,
is between 10 and 25 milligrams.
Oh,
so this sweet alone was like, what, 20, a lot more than there should have been.
I have a rule, never do maths live on air.
No, very good. That's very good advice. Absolutely. Never do maths live on air. Good idea. Absolutely. Anyway, It was a lot, okay? Yeah. And so these are potentially lethal. So about 400 people now have been contacted by the police in Auckland, and they're trying to put out warnings and saying, you know, avoid this product at all costs. We think it might be laced with drugs, and bring them back if you can find them. So they've retrieved a couple of packets so far, but there's still a few out there.
Was it deliberate or was it an error?
They're not sure yet. They think, well, they're not 100% sure, but they think what might have happened is that somebody, you know, sent the sweets in from abroad. They were mislaid, and somebody just went and put them into the charity shop and said, here you go, here's some sweets, because they were sealed like in a retail package. And these guys have a law or a rule, not a law, where they say, OK, we're only going to take manufactured products. We're not going to take a pie from Granny Smith down the road or whatever, because that would be dodgy. So they couldn't have foreseen this. But it's happened. And I seem to remember there was a story about 5 or 6 weeks ago, something similar in Australia that happened. So there seems to be a bit of it about.
Okay. India now, and a really, really disturbing story of an attack on a female doctor.
Yeah, unfortunately, when we cover a lot of stories from India, it seems to be around rape and sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this story is no different. And I think in ways I might have avoided it, to be honest with you, only for the fact of where it happened and how shocking it was, because this was a 31-year-old female trainee doctor who retired to get some sleep. She was on a really long shift as a trainee doctor. It's the same around the world. They do ridiculous hours and great work. She went to try and get some sleep, but there was no designated restroom, so she went to a lecture hall. And she was discovered the next morning on a podium, half naked and dead. She had been attacked, she had been raped and murdered, and it appears that it was actually done, or at least police have arrested a hospital volunteer who was working there, and the police are now saying that a background check had never been done on him and that he had a history of illness, shall we say, in the past. So it's another one of these stories. You know, the usual response in India is for people to, in recent years at least, is to go out onto
the streets
and protest. And that is what has happened in the city. It happened in Calcutta, which is now called Kolkata. And that's what they've done. And there's been a few follow-up protests. But whether the culture will change or whatever else needs to change, I don't know. But the fact that it happened to a doctor in a hospital makes it even more shocking.
One basic, very basic change could be safe rest rooms for doctors.
Yeah,
and that would be a start.
Yeah.
Jamaica now, and a state of emergency declared there.
Yeah, I don't know. When I was growing up, listening, as you do in your teens, to Bob Marley and all that kind of thing, you think to yourself, Jamaica, what a relaxed and cool place it must be. But it is actually, unfortunately, at least parts of it are extremely violent, and it has always been. It's got a lot of problems with gun crime. Here's an example. So the Jamaica's president, our prime minister, has had to step in here, Andrew Holness. He's issued a 14-day state of emergency in what's called a parish. Now, it's more like a county.
Okay.
So it's a very large area in Jamaica. So Jamaica is about half the size of Munster, and it's made up of 14 different parishes, right? And there's about 3 million people that live there, right? So this parish called Clarendon was the scene of 2 shootings last Sunday, right? 8 people in total died, but the first shooting happened at a birthday party where 7 people were killed, including a 7-year-old boy, and a 1-year-old was actually injured at that as well. The 8th killing happened as a reprisal. So what authorities fear is that there's some sort of turf warfare going on between gangs here, and they have issued this 14-day state of emergency to go in and, you know, impose curfews, longer detention periods, and police will be allowed to go into property without search warrants and that kind of thing. And they're hoping that it will put a stop to this particular turf war.
And this is just gangs.
Gangs.
But there is good news in there in that the gang numbers have been reduced over number of years.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, that the numbers of gangs have gone down in the last 5 years from about 400 to 185. Mm. At the same time, and that's 185 gangs in an area that's half the size
small
of Munster, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of gangs.
And at the same time, last year, Inside Crime did a study and they ranked Jamaica the second deadliest country in Latin America and the Caribbean region. And that's, you know, up against some pretty decent competition when you include Venezuela and various places like that. So, again, just to put it into context, it has a homicide rate of 60.9 per 100,000 people. if you compare that to Ireland, which is something between 0.4 and 0.55, and you know, we think there's Armageddon going on here at the moment, like, you know. So that's the kind of thing, the level of violence you're dealing with there.
Yeah, it wouldn't make you book a holiday to Jamaica anytime soon. Not immediately,
yeah.
No. But finally, Romania, and some really good news for one of their Olympic gymnasts.
Yeah, so this is an Olympic story that's come out after the Olympics, and it involves, as you said, a Romanian gymnast called Anna Marie Borbusu. She was in the women's floor exercise at the Paris Olympics. So that happened on August the 5th. Now, to cut a long story short, she was in competition for the bronze medal against a US gymnast called Jordan Chiles. I think that's the pronunciation. Is that it? Were you following it?
It's Simone Biles and Jordan Chiles.
Ah, okay. So these are one of the well-known crew, right? Yeah. Okay, anyway. Jordan Chiles did her floor exercise and she got a score of 13.666, right?
Yeah.
Her coach complained, and she was upgraded to a score of 13.766, right? Which knocked this Romanian athlete down off the podium into fourth. She was obviously extremely upset, as you can imagine. And an appeal was put in. And the results of that appeal have now come back. The Court of Arbitration ruled that the inquiry that was made by the judge, by the coach, the US coach, was made 1 minute past the time that was allowed. So they're saying, your objection was too late, therefore the score doesn't stand. We're taking the bronze medal off Jordan Chiles and we're giving it to this lady in Romania. And it was given to her at a ceremony in Bucharest on August the 16th. I imagine they had the flags out and the anthem and all sorts of things. So she now has a bronze medal.
Wonderful for her now. But I watched that live with my two little daughters who were, you know, doing cartwheels and handstands, copying the girls on the TV. Yeah. And it was so upsetting. This girl, Anna Maria, the Romanian, had presumed she'd gotten it. When the scores went up, she was screaming, she was hugging all of her pals and her coach. And then it was just changed. It was so awful. So she didn't get that moment at the Olympics, but now she has it. And has Jordan Chiles given the medal back?
She's been asked for it. And the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, confirmed that she had been asked for the medal. But at this stage, we don't know if it's been handed back. And you can be sure that US gymnastics are going to launch appeals and all sorts of different things.
Oh, they will.
It's not the end of it yet.
If they did on the day, they will. They will again. A message here. Sweets. On the sweets story, a similar thing happened in the US at Halloween, where children ate sweets that were laced with cocaine. The local hospitals offered trick-or-treat sweets, and then they had to be x-rayed. It turned out one child's uncle had dumped the sweets when the house was raided.
Oh dear!
My goodness, that's maybe a story that you missed last Halloween. What should we be looking out for next week, Jonathan?
Yeah, so a few things. I think probably the big news will be the developments in the Israel-Hamas ceasefire talks. I know I haven't seen anything for the last 2 hours or whatever, so I don't know if there's anything happened in the meantime. And then Wednesday, of course, most eyes in relation to the Democrats and Joe Biden will be on what's going on at the Democratic Convention. But Hunter Biden will be in court tomorrow on tax charges. Okay. So it'll be interesting to see if there'll be much coverage of that. And then on Sunday, the Notting Hill Carnival takes place.
Very nice. That'll be excellent. It'll be lovely, lovely.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.